there is a common practice, which is talking to animals and talking to other creatures, including trees. And there are people that actually mastered it, and it's a gift. Some people are giving this as a gift.
Okay.
This lady talks to animals, and I'm a big fan of her. And I saw one episode where there was a leopard, a black leopard, who is extremely aggressive, extremely depressed.
Ooh.
Wouldn't leave his enclosure, not even for food. And he was transferred from zoo to zoo because of his aggression.
Okay.
And this lady goes and talks to him, and he's called Diablo.
The name, yeah.
He's called Diablo. So she spoke to him, she connected, and the first thing he complained, he said, change my name.
That's interesting.
And you would see how he would come after and rub himself with the steel mesh between him and her. His demeanor, his attitude, his complete... Please Google that.
Wow, I think that's beautiful.
Google it. There is a 40-minute almost...
I will.
...documentary about that. Just see what happens. You remember, Baba, when I tell you, watch what comes out of your mouth.
We always say
don't
this.
Call yourself bad things.
I know.
Don't insult yourself.
I
don't
know.
Swear at yourself. The words, if words are to be taken easily, the one word is the difference between you going to hell to heaven. One word makes you a traitor or makes you a loyal
person. Yeah.
One word make you fall in love or take you out of love.
Absolutely. I agree. That's beautiful. I know, even I've had a very hard time the past few weeks. I don't like saying this either because I don't like trauma dumping. One of the things I don't like to do is, because there are times or little periods of times where I feel quite exhausted and I just feel like I want to sleep and I can't really function. And I'll say, for example, oh, nothing, I'm just tired. And that adds to my tiredness. I try to be careful with that. Of not saying I'm tired all the time.
Yeah, watching how to talk to yourself is very important. Patience.
We do that or we do the talking to yourself? Those are two great topics for Ramadan.
What?
Ramadan-themed conversations.
Well, talking to yourself is an art. And it's actually a form of spiritual...
Practice.
I agree. But you can turn it into a form of...
Like a spiraling?
A spiraling down. You can turn it into a self-sabotage process.
Self-deprecating or self-love.
Self-deprecating.
Yeah. I think it starts with most people. So I have a question. Are you born... I believe so. You're born with just positive thoughts. No, actually. Because you inherit from your... There is the DNA inheritance. This is true.
And it's not the DNA.
That's going into nature versus nurture. No.
It's not only the DNA. We inherit much more than DNA.
Much more. I agree. Nature versus nurture is not one I fully agree with because...
No, in terms of like behaviorisms and stuff.
Yeah, but if people want to say everyone's born good, I don't fully believe that. I don't abide by it. I think...
No, I would again.
Well, I really don't know how to judge this. Because, you see, I think there is a... If you go to other cultures and other religions, like I always refer to Hinduism and Buddhism, because there is a lot I respect there. Karma and what the...
Reincarnation?
Reincarnation. And so those are forms of belief and that need to be respected and looked upon with the reverence.
But with that, it's not always you're born good. If you're born with the karma...
Well, I wouldn't say good or bad. You're born with a set of... And in a, I don't know what to call it.
So, okay. But just
with
to
an
go
inheritance.
Back,
let's say with an inheritance.
But yes, but if your inheritance is a negative one or a trying one or a difficult one...
I believe... in the mercy and the generosity of the Creator. Those people...
I also believe in his strictness and discipline.
Very much. Those people... If there is a sense of justice, then justice comes not from treating the elephant and the monkey the same, and I gave them a task of climbing a tree.
Yeah. I understand. Which goes back to لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها. God does not put someone through more than he can bear.
What is وسع? What is وسع? لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها. So each nafs has a different وسع. Yes. Has a different capacity.
Yes.
Is what you have inherited part of that capacity?
Yes.
Sense and logic says yes.
Yes.
So judgment has to come with a sense of...
This is what I always say when some people try, and I think this is very, not virtue signaling, but I think it's a fake form of empathy, and we can go into it later, when people suddenly want to feel so guilty over what they have, and, oh, why was I blessed with this and this person's dying in the streets. And it's very, to me, it's just, it depends, but the most that I've seen it, the way it appears, it's a very fake sense of guilt and empathy because they don't really do
nothing.
It's just she cries and wants to come off as I care so much, but then nothing.
What have you done?
She does not, do you know what I mean? And I'm sure you've experienced people like this. And then, Bismillah, what I wanted to say is I always get quite frustrated with this, and they'll see my demeanor change because I don't like it. If you're trying to get sympathy out of me of, oh, you're such a good person, no. And then number two is, I always tell them, and this is something you taught me, مَا الْفَرِقْ بَيْنِكُ بَيْنْهُمْ إِلَّا رَحْمَةَ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكِ, which means the only difference between you and them is God's mercy on your soul. Because I go back to that Quran quote is, لَا يُكَلِّفُ اللَّهَ نَفْسًا إِلَّا وَسَعَهَا, sorry, which means God does not give a soul more than it can bear. You are so weak that you could not bear what they are going through. And that is God's mercy on your soul that he did not put you through what they're going through.
Never.
That makes sense? No,
fair enough.
That's how I changed the viewing of it, and it really humbled me because I'm like, everything that I've been through that I feel like someone else couldn't go through, it's because they couldn't. That's why they didn't go through it. But at the same time, I'll see people who've been through worse, and I'm like, I think what I've been through is a lot. But God didn't put me through that because I actually could not bear it. Mm. I am that weak.
We are unfair to each other. We humans generally have a bias to each other, and it's not a good bias. We always, and I see it with siblings. And when I watch those siblings, they have exactly the same weaknesses, but they manifest it on different aspects of life.
Yes.
And each one of them is criticizing the other. Yes. Are you criticizing the weakness or the manifestation of it?
I think it's the manifestation. The manifestation, of it,
because
sure.
both refuse to admit that they have the weakness.
This goes back to, I think, multiple people throughout history have said this, either philosophers or historians or politicians, of what you hate in the person in front of you is strictly something that is inside of you as well. I'm absolutely butchering this sentence. But it's whatever you dislike in someone else, it's a mirroring of what is already inside of you. So let's say, for example, I just want to I hate how she's so annoying. I hate how she talks. For example, there's something I see in her that is absolutely present in myself. Does that make sense?
If you're capable of seeing the negative in the others,
then it's present in yourself.
Then it's present in you. Mm. And I will add one extra thing.
Go for it.
If you are accused of something, and you react so strongly to it.
It is there. Yeah, I agree. Because if you're triggered by an accusation or a statement that's personal and you take it personally, then it's present inside of you. So if you, and this is, I'll have this with my dad a lot, if we're talking on the phone about something important and it's important to me personally, and he'll make a comment or say, you're now being oversensitive. I'm like, I'm not being sensitive. I'm just, this is important. But it's, and then we'll hang up. We'll hang up and I'll take a second and I'll be like, nah, you're being sensitive. You're obviously very triggered by this. You're taking it very personally and it's triggering something inside of you. But then back to my video before, it's not him that triggered me. There's obviously something inside. It's a personal thing because he's coming with all the love.
You felt very attacked in that moment, which is why you wanted to react that way.
Yeah, not attacked. Misunderstood.
Again.
Like he's not understanding.
That's what you're doing again.
Yeah, he's not understanding why I'm feeling this way. But he was. The thing is, I hung up and I was like, no, he fully gets it. But he won't let me be over emotional and sensitive and let my feelings get the best of me. Yeah. Mm. she was onto something really good until this man interrupted to mansplain.
Excuse yourself.
It's just this paragraph. And I rarely answer comments, but I answered him with all the ease. That guy you're referring to is my father who taught me everything I know. He can interrupt me any day.
Excuse me.
Actually, we were not interrupting each other.
It was bouncing off of each other. Because you said something and she commented, oh, the first sentence says it all. Like, it was very flowy.
Hmm. No one. It's an innocent misconception of the whole situation.
It's not an innocent misconception. It's some who just understood it the way he wants to understand it. Call things what they are. He would interrupt a woman and mansplain. So he saw it as someone interrupting a woman mansplaining.
Oh my God, that's so true.
Do you know what I mean? Kullin yara bi'ayni tab'ah in Arabic means everyone sees through the lens of their own nature. So if it is something you would do, you would accuse the opposing person of doing the same thing.
Which is exactly what we were talking about.
Yeah, so he's just an idiot.
We talked about if somebody accuses you of something and you react to it negatively, it means it's still in you.
Yes.
But what if somebody come and compliment you of something?
But you accept the compliment or don't accept it?
Well, how would you react to it? If somebody comes and says, oh, you are the most generous woman in the world.
I'd say absolutely not.
Well, you see, if you're complimented and you are in defense, or you get a sense of joy of it, then it's not a compliment you deserve.
We said this last time. Yeah. Well, no, not deserve. Yes, okay.
If it's a compliment, when it's given to you, it keeps you in a state of astonishment or the state of, what do you call it, agape? Like, what? What is he talking about? You just don't relate. You do not relate to it at all, as if you don't know what he's talking about. Then you are really that person.
I understand, but I think it also has to do with the person complimenting me. So you went to the after, which I fully understand, but I'm very cautious of people's intentions and motives. So when someone comes to me with an extreme compliment, like, absolutely, you are the most generous woman in the world, which I know cannot be true, that would make me a saint. I'm very accepting of that fact that I will always try to increase my generosity, increase my all of those good virtues, right? So if someone comes to me with an insane, beautiful compliment like that, I'd be quite
taken aback, and then you'd be wondering why are they complimenting me?
Like, that's obviously not true. But perhaps I have done something amazing for this person, and their reaction, because no one's ever helped them before, is you're the most generous woman. I can understand them just in a moment of extreme ecstasy and joy saying something like that. I wouldn't fashlo or fashilha, which means I wouldn't disappoint them and let them down. And I'd just be like, thank you so much. You're beautiful. You deserve all the, you know, just keep it clean and nice like that. But it depends on a person's motives and intentions.
After all those personal or social etiquettes, how do you feel with it? That's what I'm talking about.
Well, I'm very cautious of this because we filmed a video before, and this is one of my really good videos that did really well. It's a George O'Keefe quote. I have already settled it for myself so that flattery and criticism go down the same drain, and I am quite free. We did a video about this where being flattery can be so addictive. It can be. That's why celebrities and influencers are kind of up there in the clouds, because they just have yes men and people oozing compliments around them, right?
Yeah.
So it can be extremely addictive, extremely fast. And the immediate opposing result of that is that you are extremely sensitive to criticism. So you have to reach a point of equilibrium in the middle where both mean nothing to you, right? So I'm very cautious of this. I try to be, where I try to not let either or affect me. I'm still human. So when I get a compliment, I'm kind of like, you know?
I'm still a woman.
I'm still a woman. We have to have a little bit of narcissism to us, you know? And again, we go back to narcissism. They've changed the definition to be so negative. But we have to have this little bit of self-love and self, you know? But what I've noticed is, for criticism, I'm more careful of it. I'll allow myself sometimes to accept a flattery, fine. But with criticism, I really put my foot down where I don't want to allow it to affect me. That's why I have one video that has negative comments coming down like a machine gun. I love it. I'm very okay with it. You know, mm-hmm. I'm like, it doesn't, I don't allow it to affect me. And alhamdulillah, by the grace of God, I think this comes from your lessons. I have not been affected by it. The only one that triggered a little or made me feel like I wanted to answer was the one about you. Because to me, I'm like, you can attack me all day long. I don't care. Don't mess with my family.
It's okay, I didn't, you know? See.
I sent a screenshot to you. It doesn't matter. It's ridiculous. But the comments of them going like, oh, she's so stupid. They're just giving anyone a microphone. You sound, bismillah, what's the word? Absolutely uneducated. You're so stupid. Shut the fuck up. Like, literally, aggressive comments like that.
Get a cover.
Or wear your hijab. Like, first of all, become modest and then talk about ethics and morals. And it's all, to me, like water off my shoulder. I really don't care because you're not my target audience. The video happened to find you. Ask yourself why. But to me, it's like, you can stay exactly as you are. I have no qualms about that. And your words mean nothing to me because I'll look at them and I'll really genuinely say, anyone who genuinely has the ability to take a minute out of their day to comment something so negative like that on someone's video, you don't have a life or mind that I want at all. You know what I mean? God help you, your brain and your mind. You have to live with that 24 hours a day. I don't want your life. There's nothing about it that I aspire to emulate or replicate or try to adapt into my life. So I'm good.
But can I ask something, Baba?
Of course.
Keeping in terms of what Baba just said about, mm-hmm. like, how do you react to compliments? And is it, it's somewhere in between knowing who you are as a person, what your worth is, knowing, like, drawing the line between narcissism and self-deprecation, and also understanding the motive, right?
Okay.
Behind all of these, if you know that somebody's complimenting you from a place of genuine appreciation,
mm-hmm.
I think you can see that. But like you said, sometimes when some people compliment you, you question, right?
Depends on the scenario and the person and the motive, yeah.
Yeah. So how do you navigate it then?
Interesting. I think it depends. This is where I like what we do, right? Because it gives you the tools to be witty and prepared for any possible scenario, right? And I think with these situations, I've learned to handle them as they come or as they go, because there's also backhanded compliments and we're women. So mm-hmm. I don't know how men do backhanded compliments. I'm not sure how it transpires. I'm sure they have a version of it, but we're all too familiar with how it happens within female circles. And some people, and I know personally, they'll go through a backhanded compliment and it'll shatter them, you know? They'll feel really panicky and it'll affect them and they'll feel really bad about it. So back to your question of self-worth, for example, so is your self-worth dependent on what someone else says? Not in the sense of solely flattery, but you can walk around all day saying, I have self-worth, I've really built my self-image, I'm confident, nothing can shake me. And one word from someone else and you fall like a house of cards. So it's a training of all of them simultaneously, of not allowing them to affect you, also accepting one with grace, but also recognizing what a person's intentions are behind a compliment. It's all a well-oiled machine, if that made any sense.
What I do personally is I have two categories.
You love a compliment.
How I handle a criticism or a compliment socially, openly.
Okay.
And how I handle it between me and myself.
Yes, true.
The deeper part, which is between you and yourself, is the part that I care about more because it reflects genuinely whom you are and what level of growth you had. Socially, always be proper, be polite. Do not look for alteration or instigation.
But be ready if someone comes with altercation confrontation.
That stillness, that inner stillness, makes you always ready for this.
Yeah, that's what I'm referring to. Inner stillness. There you mm-hmm. go.
And if you have that, you can immediately differentiate. This is for the social. This is for me. How did I react?
Yes.
How much my happiness or the self value that I have was affected with this? Mm-hmm. Was I seeking it? Was I looking for it? Was I instigating it? And am I getting a major satisfaction or any satisfaction out of this? Those are questions any mature human or any human who's seeking maturity should ask to himself.
Between themselves. Mm-hmm. I agree. So for example, like about the self-worth, when I said I know people, every now and then, because also we're women, hormones, depends on how much sleep you got. When someone could say something not so nice, usually I'm unfazed by it, whatever. Sometimes it'll sit with me. And that's what I do. I'll have a conversation with myself and I'll be like, why did it affect you? Why are you so triggered by it?
Okay, but then again, so here's my question. So where do you... So sometimes people, they take a bit of their self-worth from other people's words.
Well, if you take any... self-worth from other people's feedback, you are in serious deep trouble.
Absolutely.
No, but okay, now if Baba came and told you that you are doing really well and mm-hmm. that makes you, that like fuels you to go forward and do even further.
Okay.
Right? That's adding to yourself. Take away the word self-worth, just adding to yourself.
Again, this will go back to, it's how you, for me personally at least, how I would do it is, if he says you did well or you're on the right track, keep going. I can use that as fuel to keep going. It's what I choose to do with it, right? So, and also simultaneously, he can say, Layla, you were a bit all over the place today. I know you can do better. Let's refocus and do better. It's what I choose to do with it. I can go home and cry. I completely messed up today. He thinks I'm a failure. Or I can say he sees the potential in me. He and I both know I can do better. All right, game hat on. Let's do better. It depends on what you do with it.
Those are social mechanisms. They are always there. You compliment or you criticize.
Yes.
How do you react to this? If a compliment changes all of your state of energy,
yes.
takes you up, and now you're flying, and a criticism plummets you down, then that is something wrong there.
But what I was saying before, I fully agree. I'm not going to say but. I did a whole video about this. I fully agree. And that's why I'm saying with that George O'Keefe, Georgia or George? I'm so sorry. I'm my memory Georgia. Is just, I think so. That's why I was saying with that. If you do get an extreme high off of compliments, there's no two ways about it. You get an extreme crash off of criticism. So you are setting yourself up to be a slave to someone else's words towards you. And which takes us back to a lot of things that we've covered. Like that Eminem quote of someone asked him, oh, this person said you are X, Y, and Z. Are you? And he said, absolutely. If I wasn't, why would they say I am? So he's made it indifferent. They can say whatever the hell they want about me. You know, in their eyes, I am exactly that. So let it be, you know, but he knows who he is. At least he comes off in that video knowing who he is, and it's irrelevant to him. So to me now, if someone comes, but I'm also a little on the fence about this, because if someone who has been or is in my life comes and says something to you about me, even if it's negative, I might tell you believe them, because what did they do to get me to that point? I am absolutely a villain in some people's stories. You know, but people's minds and memories are selective, and they just start to where I became the villain. And I have no qualms about that. I can absolutely be very comfortable being the villain in your story, because I know myself well enough to know I will never wake up and intentionally want to hurt you out of the blue. And even when you hurt me, I will never want to hurt you back. But you best believe I will stand my ground. You will no longer have access to me. And if I come off as cruel, if I come off as a villain, so be it. Do you get what I'm saying? So this topic will open many topics, and it's all a well-oiled machine. But if you want a definitive answer of this is how it is, I can't give you one, because you will face new situations every day, new forms of criticism, new forms of flattery from many different types of people who are either close to you or far away from you. And you just have to have the tools and mental discipline to be able to handle them. Did I make sense? I feel like that was quite nice.
Very much. If you had ever to work or live around someone who gets his recognition or value from the continuous feed of people, appraisal of people, you understand what a devastating form of existence.
They're very fragile, frail people.
Zero place for any criticism or correction. And they would create scenarios and situations just because to solicit praise continuously.
Yeah.
And it's a...
I think we have a term for them. We call them attention whores.
Well, I've seen a lot of men do that.
Men and women. Yeah. So a lot of women will do it for the attention of males. And every woman will tell you, I've had a girl in my life who just wanted male attention and validation her whole life. And then there's the girl who wants to be the queen bee, where she wants all the girls to always be giving her compliments. With men, you want the men, you have, excuse me, the men who strictly want female attention at all times. Like, all eyes on me. And I know a few men like that. They're unbearable.
Oh, they exist. They're unbearable. They're everywhere.
They're very... It's a very twisted energy for a man to be in. And then there's...
Almost female.
Yes. And then there's the men who just want male validation in the sense that they want to be alpha male and they have their disciples. Now, all of that can come off in many different ways. There's many different variations, many different looks. But you can sense it. You can feel it. You need to reach a point where you... I always say this. I'm turning 29 on Saturday, okay? If you don't... Yeah, I know. If you don't... Bismillah, what's the word I'm looking for? Reach a point where you can understand human patterns and behaviors by this age, then you've wasted 29 years of your life. Because I now can... Because going through high school, through university, through work, I can pinpoint this is an attention-seeking person. This is a disciplined person. Oh, this is a person that will go far in life. Oh, this is a person that's overly sensitive. So now I've been through enough of them that I can kind of pinpoint it easily now. And it makes my life easier because I don't have to keep going through the same, excuse me, things over and over again. But you'll see people that go through the same thing over and over again, and I'll be like, did you not learn? You went through this in high school.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah, of course.
If you're trapped into the attention seeking or validation, how could you see those patterns?
Themselves, how can they see it on themselves?
How can you see it yourself in others if you're trapped yourself into where you're just seeking validation or attention from others? How could you... How can you manage to see other...
You can't.
You cannot.
No, of course you can't.
That's why it's very important to free yourself so you can see the realities around you.
Of course.
But then trying to free yourself itself is like a huge task and not a lot of people get around to do it.
And this is what I've also resigned between myself and I think at around the age of 15, 16, with his help. I once came home very upset. I think I was quite devastated because, like I mentioned in our session before, that he always taught us this way of thinking. And I, being the naive little girl that I was at 15, 16, was so eager and keen and excited to teach it to my closest of friends, you know? So I would try to do that to no avail. I failed miserably. And I say I failed because back then it felt like a failure. And I would come home to him crying or devastated. Baba, I tried 1, 2, 3. And then for some reason, you know, people talk too much. And now they've come back and said, I'm a witch. I do black magic. Crazy. Crazy. And he almost laughed the way he just did now. And he looked at me and said, it is a compliment. Because number one, all the prophets in the world were criticized. You're so lucky if you get a glimpse of what they've been through, even the worst of what they've been through. So that was an aha moment for me. And then number two was, you have to settle it between yourself, resolve it, that not everyone is meant to heal. Not everyone is meant to grow. Not everyone is meant to spiritually ascend. Some people will live and die just as they are. And that was a very hard
reality to like accept, though.
Accept it. That was a very hard thing for me to resolve between myself and I. But once I did, life-changing. Because now I don't care to run after people and heal them. But that was also something within me and myself of, why did you want to heal everyone? Why did you want to save people?
Fair.
Do you know what I mean?
It is enough to touch a life.
Yes. Yes.
But then again, are you then like trying, are you then saying that you lose hope
at all?
No, not at all. I think, so I don't know if you watched Sandman on Netflix.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. When he's fighting the devil, right? Mm-hmm. And it's very interesting, the show. They were fight, because it's based on a comic or a novel. They're going to come after me. There we go, graphic novel. When they're fighting with words, and the words inflict the pain and the feeling. So they fight with, for example, the devil says disease, and he feels all the diseases
it's
in the world.
It's not devil, babe, it's desire.
Is it? No, it wasn't desire.
Desire, that's, it's desire.
No,
love,
babe, it's the girl
one.
From, no, it's the girl from...
That's death.
Is it death?
death, dream, desire.
Is the trans person.
Yeah.
So it's death, sorry. He's fighting death, and I saw her as the devil. Well, she looks very devilish with the wings and stuff, so sorry. Death, right?
Yeah, death.
Okay, so he's fighting death, and he's the Sandman who, you know, puts people to sleep. And he wins the fight ultimately, so they go back and forth. Disease, war, flood, that whatever. And he wins... What
is the devil? I'm sorry.
It is the devil.
You're talking about, like, when he goes to hell and everything.
Yes, that is the devil. Get out, they do a fight. And the fight is, for example, she screams disease at him and he feels all the diseases in the world. He screams, but he's saying the more positive things. So he'll say something like faith, universe, something, right? And then she throws something at him. I don't remember what it was exactly. And he's khalas, about to lose the war. Like he's crumbling, about to die. And he just says, what can kill hope? And she loses, the devil loses, because nothing can kill hope. And this is true. If you have even 1% of hope, you are good to go. This is so. When you say, "Does this kill?" Absolutely not, because I focus all of my love and effort and light onto attracting the people who are on my frequency, even better, hopefully, and that gives me so much hope. Because there, if there was no one good left in this world, I truly believe kan sakar hazaman, God would have ended it a long time ago. We'd be all gone.
So then it's like about with these people who don't resonate or recognize the things that you were saying,
yes,
right? Or who don't hold, who like the people who like rejected what you said at 15, mm-hmm, right? They didn't exactly. So that
they're still rejecting it to this day.
And so then, do you lose focus on them? Like, do you just let them go and let them be?
Of course, you let them be. You let them be.
Of course,
they have the right to be also.
A natural result of that as well for me personally was I slowly drifted away because my soul yearned for more. I yearned for people who were on my same frequency and even better. I'm eager to learn from people, you know, but people who will add value and allow my spiritual depth and growth to transpire and take place. So a natural result of me facing that kind of resistance from people was that's not the room I belong in, and I would just take myself and go
remove
be
yourself
alone
from your situation.
What?
Remove yourself from the situation.
Yeah, and I'm just gonna say one name. We'll cut this off. It was a big one for me, a big one for me. She was a friend. Of course, I'll cut this out. But just the name. Mm-hmm. So I had a friend in high school that I loved. We loved each other quite deeply. We just had this connection from day one. And no matter how hard I tried, no matter how much I wanted, and this was a weakness in me, a lacking in me, that I wanted to take her with me wherever I went. I'm talking here just on an energetic level. And she was, unfortunately, one of the people that was an attention-seeking person, a very weak, unstable person, a very repetitive of toxic cycles person. And no matter how hard I tried, I couldn't. And I resigned myself to the fact that I wouldn't be able to, and it's okay. And as a natural response to that, we slowly drifted apart. And she is quite literally, 15 years later, exactly as she is, in the exact same headspace with the exact same mechanisms. And I'm not.
See, not everybody has the faculty, mental, spiritual, or physical, to attain certain goals. And that's part of the... You remember when you talked about Adil? In the beginning, we talked about Adilillah Jalla Jalalu.
In the beginning of this session, right? Yes. Yeah. About God doesn't... God's just, so he doesn't give you more than you can bear.
Yeah, they have not been, for a reason or the other, beyond our understanding, yes, or comprehension, they have not had access to those faculties.
For a reason.
For a reason.
But then what reason would they have to be on, if they're not?
That will be a circular argument.
Wait, I want to hear what she asks, though.
So now, if they are not going to, if they're not going to be better, if they're not going to change, if they're going to just be stuck in that cycle like you said for 15 years, where is any value added onto their lives or onto the lives that they're living?
They could live a fully By the way, they can get married and have kids and be very simple
and just people. Be the second.
And just they can just get married, have a kid, maybe be in a happy marriage, an unhappy marriage. It doesn't matter. Raise kids in the same way that they think, and it's just a lineage that will continue. And they can, by the way, they can be very simple people that just go have a 9-to-5, go home, cook for the husband, watch a movie, go to sleep, repeat it every day. And they're not keen on growing or seeking growth. Now, but from the example of the friend that I gave, I do not see her in a happy marriage. It is not possible, because every person she's ever attracted into her life has been a horrible, horrible toxic man, the worst, you know. Mm-hmm. And if that is her destiny, there is a hikmah and a wisdom there that is not for me to judge or know or understand, but it is there. And all I can do is say, alhamdulillah, and thank God, my journey is different. And inshallah, God will only send the best of people to me. And I have to let that completely go. Whatever happens there is not my issue to...
So do you feel a duty of wanting to help, or do you just... Is it by not helping, are you living in ignorance of their...
No. No, it's not. It's the opposite of ignorance. It's I'm fully aware, acutely aware of what it is that they are and what I'm dealing with. And I have the strength to remove myself from it.
But she tried to help for years and years and years.
I tried.
And from early time, I told her, this is not changeable.
Yes, but I... being stubborn and having this issue. So, and you need to be careful. So when you say wanting to help, I'm not meant to be everyone's savior, and I don't want to be, you know, because people, and that's also a pattern that you can pick up with other people. I know people that have this thing of wanting to help and save everyone. There is a void internally, and you can, and usually it's daddy issues. My dad wasn't around, so I want to be a father figure to everyone. Do you know what I mean? I've seen it in most people. she's like,
do I want to say I this feel called out right now?
A disguised, you feel called complex. Out? It looks like it's a good thing, it's but in reality, complex. It's devastating. Yeah. Mm.
And you will, like last time we gave this example, you will sometimes drown yourself trying to save someone from drowning. And that is, but that's not a virtue. See, people confuse this. They want to make it look like it's such a virtue and it's so, and it takes strength. Absolutely not. It is coming from a point of weakness. Let me tell you something. What takes actual strength is recognizing a pattern that is toxic and removing yourself from the situation and leaving that person to drown. That is actually, because it is difficult to do that. It is not easy to be disciplined like that, to actually be good, to actually have morals and ethics that you stand by. But people twist it and they want to take the self-sabotage as having virtue and being strong, but it's not. It's absolute weakness. Because by that standard as well, if you always constantly do that, you are incapable and do not have the ability to recognize a pattern and stop it and remove yourself. So if you, I have the ability to do both. Does that make sense? I have the ability to recognize a pattern and stop it and remove myself from the situation. And I also have the ability to recognize this person can be helped. And you know what? I see the potential and I will take my time with them. But if you don't have the ability to do both, having either or does not make you strong. It makes you absolutely weak. Because it takes strength to have both and to recognize the difference between both.
Fair.
Does that make sense? Said.
Very much.
Thank For you. Me, what I do is like, if a lot of situations growing up, it's just about if I have the ability to actually enact a little bit of help or enact a little bit of change, I will go. I will try and do my best. But the minute, like you said, the minute I feel like I am drowning in somebody else's pain, and which is obviously directly affecting my life and my performance and my day-to-day things, if that's happening, if their burdens weigh more than mine, then that's not for me.
Let's take it a step before, not further. Take it a step back. If you have the ability, you have the keenness and the willingness to help people. Beautiful. Mm. And like you said, you will, if I'm understood correctly, you will almost every time go for it, right?
Yeah, I would try.
Okay, yeah. You will try. And if you find that they're incapable of being helped, or their pain is too big, or and you're ending up drowning in their pain and misery and being a punching bag, for example, you'll remove for yourself from the situation. Mm-hmm. Now, I want you to take it a step back and just ask yourself why you attracted that person to help.
I don't think it's about attraction.
It is. Absolutely. You attract every situation and every person in your life. True. You need to take responsibility for that.
I do.
Okay. So when I say you, it's not just you. Yeah. People need to take responsibility for every situation and human they attract into their lives. When you do that, life becomes easier. It actually, when you take that responsibility, life becomes easier. So to me, it's because I was there, I was attracting that friend, and others like her for quite some time. And I had to kind of take a step back and be like, Oppa, why am I attracting people who are draining me, who are drowning me, and why am I so keen and eager to help them? Mm. You know?
Fair.
So when I...
It's because maybe, like, there was a couple of times where the actions that I took or the changes that I, like, basically the actions that I took to help, they did reap good rewards.
Beautiful. But you have to now be able to differentiate what will reap a good reward and what won't.
And what is the parameters?
Yeah, exactly. What are your limits? For sure.
You need to know how do I help people? What are the parameters you put on yourself for helping? And what are the signs that somebody is seeking your help and benefiting from your help? Those things are very, very clear. The blindness, the lack of vision comes from us.
From us, you know? So that's why I'm asking you, why are you attracting that? Because you need to now be able to reach a point where you can quickly recognize this person's going to just drag me down. This person's going to kill my soul.
One thing, do not help people that do not ask you for help.
Yes.
If people are not asking you for help, then they don't need your help.
And that's the savior complex in you. Like, why are you going to help someone that didn't even ask you for help? Second,
if you do the mistake and help someone who did not ask you for help and he did not recognize what you've done as help and you've not seen any positive signs on him from what you did, you just wasted your time and your energy and you're digging a trap. You might find yourself in some serious trouble.
Yes. Mm. And then you have no one but yourself to blame.
Oh. No, recognizing, I think that's even worse than shame, isn't it? When you recognize that all the effort that you took and nothing was, like whatever Baba just said, like you took the effort, but they didn't see it as help and
because they didn't ask for it to begin with. And you were, to begin with, you can't blame the other person.
You can't
exactly.
blame the other person, and yeah. it's just that resentment yeah. just sets in.
Yeah, of course, of course. So with that. But see, that also stems of, I've done that before, obviously. Oh God, have I done that before? You know, forced myself to help people. Because I had this lacking mentality, and it's a very delusional, naive mentality of one day they'll wake up and recognize, I helped them, you know, I'm so amazing. And I really had to sit and kind of go like, why do you need that? Why do you need that validation? What mommy or daddy issues have taken place? You know, and alhamdulillah, once I resolved that, life gets so much easier. If I'm being quite transparent, I was not made to physically go out there and save people. I just wasn't. I'd rather do it like this. And like I said with my videos, if you leave a negative comment, babes, by all means, stay exactly as you are. If I've helped one person just like this, so be it. I really believe in energies and manifesting. And I think if my video popped up on someone's feed, they were meant to hear it. Meant to hear it so they fight it. Meant to hear it so they accept it. Meant to hear it for whatever reason they're meant to hear it. But this is how I feel I'm meant to give back to the universe.
See those people that have managed to have a serious change in life path. In their thinking, in their work or some change religion, some change path of life, some what triggered most of those people to do that? And there are the internet is full with their stories. They will always come back, most of them, to something they read.
Yes. So the power of planting a seed. Yeah. I really believe in the power of planting a seed.
Or someone they talk to. Or a specific incident. It was an interaction between two humans. So It is that seed that we are looking for, and we are.
Can I add to that? I'll add to that because I feel like you want to be helpful as a human. You want your energy to always be helpful and stuff, and I fully understand it. So I'll tell you something that I've done personally, and it seems to have worked the best with me so far. I don't have the intention of I want to help and change you and open your eyes, and you have to. I've completely let go of that energy. But what I do is I don't like saying this because it's very Americano, but I live my truth. Okay? I even get cringy just saying it. But I try my best to abide by the things that my father and I say here and the lessons that I've learned. And I truly, truly try my best to implement them every day. So the way I do it is, any circle that I'm in, people talk. People always tell you their ailments and their issues. And people sometimes subconsciously are seeking for help or that seed to be planted. It's their soul calling for it. So because I stay truthful to how I am and who I am and the way I think, even in conversation, I don't waver. I don't care about your feelings. I will state my statement. So if I hear a girl say something, for example, I will just go, why did you attract that? And she might immediately have that resonance of, defensiveness of, I didn't. And I'm like, no, but you did. And I'll let it go. Mm. She wants to fight me. She doesn't. I don't care. I don't care to have the argument. But I'll throw that seed. And I promise you, most people have come back 6 months later. Layla, that thing you said to me 6 months ago changed my life. You know? So I don't actively go pursue it, but I remain truthful that I'll just say it. If the seed is planted, so be it. If it's not, so be it. Does that make sense?
Yeah, and then, seeds currently being planted right now.
And allow it. See, but the biggest of trees with the deepest of roots take time, and give time the time. My sister taught me this, God bless her soul. She used to tell me all the time, give time the time. And I never really understood it until one day I was like, why do you want it to happen right now? Allow it. Allow yourself to be processed. Allow yourself to be manured and dug and watered and. Allow yourself to maybe you need someone else to plant another seed in you before you get there. So give time the time, you know? Mm. And if you stay truthful and your frequency is always where it needs to be, you never know who you touch with one word that you say.
True. Truly.
I feel very wise today. I was about to cancel today's shoot. I was just about to.
Why?
I was not feeling very great. I'm going through quite a trying time right now, honestly. And I think with my birth...
Yeah, let me complain.
No, I'm not going to complain.
I want to complain.
Why?
I'm joking.
No, I'm not going to complain. And I don't like trauma dumping. I really don't. But that being said, it is a human thing to go through trying times.
Absolutely.
It's a necessary thing. And I saw a video by Sheikh Hamza Yusuf yesterday, and he was saying God puts you through tests if he loves you. And I that video popped up on my feed for a reason. And it's because I'm going through a trying time. And I was allowing it almost to get the better of me. But I woke up today and I said, no. وَعَسَ أَن تَكْرَهُ شَيْءٌ وَهُوَ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ. And you might hate something and it is good for you. And the لَا يُكَلِّفُ اللَّهَ نَفْسًا إِلَّا وَسْعَهَا.
وَسْعَهَا.
Which means God does not give a soul more than it can bear. And I told myself, Layla, you know this. This is every time you feel like you're about to hit rock bottom and crash, the opening comes. I'm like, you know this like the back of your hand. This is God processing you. So I woke up feeling better.